Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi has today officially declared victory in Mosul. This is a significant blow to ISIS, which has controlled the city for over 3 years. Once Iraq's second largest city, Mosul remains in ruins, and problems with corruption and funding could turn the rebuilding process into a difficult battle of its own. I spoke with Professor Armin Saikal, Director of the Centre for Arab and Islamic Studies at ANU today. When the Iraqi Prime Minister arrived in Western Mosul to declare its liberation from the Islamic State, he was surrounded by mountains of rubble. So rebuilding Mosul, Iraq's second largest city, is likely to take many years and billions of dollars. What problems do you foresee the people of Mosul are likely to face in their efforts to rebuild?
Well, I think the first problem is that it will depend who's really going to control Mosul, because it's not just the Iraqi army that's moved in, but also there is the Kurdish militia, Peshmerga, as well as Shia militias, and some of them supported by the Islamic Republic of Iran, and as well as Sunni tribes or tribesmen who have really joined the Iraqi forces in this endeavor. And then I think the second issue is that to what extent the Iraqi government will be in control of the situation to supervise and to fund the reconstruction of Mosul. Mosul is virtually destroyed, and a lot of people of Mosul have been dislocated, and that has created a massive humanitarian situation and therefore a massive the number of refugees.
Now, if lessons from the past are any indication, do you think the reconstruction efforts in Mosul will be stymied by economic troubles, corruption, mismanagement, security problems? What do you foresee?
Well, we've already seen that in the reconstruction of Iraq as a whole, following the US-led invasion in 2003. And there have been reports of massive corruptions and dysfunctionality, nepotism, and so on. One could really expect that the same sort of thing is likely really to happen in relation to Mosul, a reconstruction of Mosul in other areas which are still under the control of the so-called Islamic State, and if they are all liberated, then they will all require a considerable amount of investment on the part of Iraqi government as well as the international community to make sure that these liberated areas are well catered for. So I think there are going to be very major obstacles. I mean, we know, for example, in the reconstruction of Afghanistan, there has been a lot of corruption as well as malpractices and so on, and one could really expect that a similar degree of such the developments could occur in relation to Mosul.
Amnesty International today released a report criticising pro-government forces, including Iraqi and US-led coalition forces. They said that Islamic State's use of people as human shields in Mosul does not lessen the legal obligation of government forces to protect civilians. The Deputy Director of Research at Amnesty International, Lynn Malouf, is quoted as saying military planners should have taken extra care in the manner in which they use their weapons to ensure that these attacks were not unlawful. What are your thoughts on this?
The people of Mosul and other areas under the control of the IS have certainly suffered enormously at the hands of IS, but also some people would claim that they have equally suffered under the bombardment by the US-led coalition forces. Perhaps the rate of casualties under IS may be greater than the ones which have been inflicted upon the people by coalition operations. But I mean, as you pointed out, I think the US-led coalition had an international obligation to minimize the amount of civilian casualties. But the reports coming out, that has not really been the case. I mean, many people, particularly in Mosul, have suffered enormously as a result of the coalition operations. And I think this is what has alarmed the Amnesty International, as well as many other humanitarian agencies who've really come out and have expressed a serious disappointment.
And according to reports coming out of Mosul, three quarters of roads, almost all of its bridges, 65% of its electrical network have been destroyed. Much of the city's water infrastructure has been booby-trapped by militants, and many people who once called Mosul home can't return because their houses and livelihoods are simply gone. So what kind of future do you see for the people of Mosul who remain or wish to return?
I think it's going to be quite difficult for a large number of them to return and lead a normal life in Mosul until such times that these public facilities are restored, and that is going to take really some time. I think they're going to see a lot of hardship unless the Iraqi government and the international community come in a very big way to alleviate the suffering of these people and try to help them to rehabilitate and resettle in the areas from which they had been dislocated. And I think that's going to take a long time. And also, one must not really forget that now Iraq, and for that matter Syria, has lost at least a generation of their people. And so there will be many children that have remained uneducated, and the only thing that they have really experienced is the culture of war. That is going to have its own consequences.
Professor Armin Seikel, Director for the Centre for Arab and Islamic Studies at the Australian National University, ending that report.